Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm going to call up Natalie and Katie up here right now. They are the MOPS representatives of Sabarita. I want to tell you, well, you're probably saying, what is MOPS? Yeah. Mothers of Preschoolers. They're going to tell you a little bit about what we're going to actually allow. We're going to actually start this ministry in this church for people that might need it, so that you guys can you'll see what's going on. Okay, so Natalie, Katie, you guys take the floor. Okay.
Well, thank you so much for having us. It's exciting to be here with you guys. My name is Natalie Watson.
I'm Katie Urbansik.
And we have another lady that's also going to be leading with us. Her name's Adriana Fielden. I came into MOPS. This will be my third year. Last year, because of the pandemic, we did it a little different. We met at my house and we just got together. We ate, we talked. It was an amazing thing. MOPS came into my life at the time that I needed it the most. I had just had my baby boy, Christopher, and things got real after he was born. I don't have any family here, but we've gotten into a church family and friends that we really count on. And after Christopher, I needed my mamas. Like, I needed my mama friends. So MOPS did that for me. It provided me with women that were just encouraging, women that would hold my baby so that I could eat a hot meal. Just so much. They just loved on me. And that was so important as a new mom. But MOPS doesn't just do that for new moms. MOPS has a thing called Moms Next. And basically what that does is that any mom of any whose babies are going off into the military, you know, they can be part of MOPS. That community can be for them. We meet together, we watch videos. It's done so much for me in my life that I want to reach out to moms and to provide that for any mom in any stage.
Hi, I am Katie. This will only be my second year in MOPS. Last year was my first. We moved to Tucson last year in March at the beginning of the pandemic. My husband is Air Force. And about not even 6 months after we moved here, he deployed. So my MOPS group, I met through Natalie, they were my support system. Like, my family's in Kentucky, far, far away. And I had no one here. My husband's on the other side of the world. And I have my son just turned 3 yesterday. So he was 2 during all of it. Those terrible 2s by yourself. Super great. But they seriously like supported me so much. Like, there'll be times when like I was just down and out, like, I can't do this anymore. I'm done. Like, can we leave the military now? Like, please. And they would just support me and rally around me. She even got people to make me dinners, because I'm not that great of a cook. My husband is. She had people make me dinners, like, so I could just have like lasagna to throw in the oven. Like, the support of the moms around are just seriously amazing. And my son Axel loves all the kids too. So I would be lost without MOPS, honestly. So I'm super excited to help lead it this year and reach out to other moms all around. So
we will be meeting here on Tuesday mornings, twice a month, and we will have childcare so that you can enjoy the meeting and eat when someone else is watching your baby. So if you are interested, we're going to be in the back table at the end of service. But before we have one announcement for this Tuesday.
This Tuesday, we're trying to do a little outreach to get more people to sign up. We're having a play date. If your kids are older, you can still come too. We'll be at the Safari Park in Rancho at 8:30 on Tuesday. If you want to come and meet some other moms and just kind of get to know us more, we're really welcoming. So.
Lately, God's been putting something kind of out of my heart. For those of you who don't know, I work in forensics in Tucson. But One thing I've seen a lot of lately is like we're on pace for record numbers of homicides, right? It just seems like crime is just really, really bad. It gets worse and worse. And I'm sure you've seen it in the news. And it's not, because like sometimes the media likes to latch on to a certain thing and then they just kind of amplify and keep showing it. But that isn't this, because, you know, I live that life. I know what's going on. But I think one of the biggest issues, one of the things that contributes it to the most is that during the whole pandemic, we kind of lost our sense of community. That's why I'm so happy that, you know, you brought your organization here. But, you know, and we brought this up before a few times, and I remember Pastor John kind of kicked it off maybe a month and a half ago. But in the book of Acts, this 2:42 says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. Now, can you imagine if you asked anybody to do that today? It's like, hey, we're going to get together daily. It's like, well, you know, I'm kind of busy, right? I think that we don't necessarily need to meet daily, but we should try to be together as much as we possibly can. And it doesn't have to be here in church, but it could be with one another. Because how many one another's do you read in the Bible? You can't have one another without another, right? And it says, they broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So, you know, I just encourage you, whatever it is, try to meet with a believer. Try to have a gathering. I know there's people here that have like at-home Bible studies, things like that. That's awesome. That's the kind of stuff I'm talking about. You know, it could be just getting together just to have fun with one another, just so you're able to have those moments to encourage, those moments to pray, the moments to show love to one another. Because what did Jesus say the greatest commands were? It pretty much boiled down to love God. And the next was like it, love your neighbor as yourself. So I just encourage you, with whatever you do, is to focus on God and focus on people being together. Because we need that bond again. We need to start showing that love again. And I'm sure after we start doing that, we're going to see a lot less of what we see on the news. Because God's love is more powerful than any of that.
Isn't it strange how certain events bring back memories? Caleb's departure this morning reminded me that 47 years ago, almost to the day, a couple weeks, I went to MEPS, and I got on a bus to Fort Lost in the Woods, Misery, and I went through basic training. But it caused me to think a little bit. Throughout all those years, friends have come and gone, met new people, lost old people, people have moved on, lived in a lot of different places, jobs have come, jobs have gone. But the one thing in my life that's been constant through all those years is my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. No matter what I went through, He was there. He's always there. And one thing I can count on, He will always be there. Praise God.
Good morning, everyone. I'm going to say mighty women. And this month, we're going to have a speaker from the Gospel Rescue Mission, and they're providing for needs. We as a church provide food to them. And, you know, I know Pastor and Rosie and several other people visit here and there, and they take the food And, you know, it's so important that we continue supporting this mission. You know what? Sometimes we're one disaster away from homelessness. We're one disaster away, whether it's medically or if for some reason you lose your job during the pandemic. So many people lost their jobs. And this is a place where they can find refuge. And so this person's going to come speak to us. But what we're doing is we're collecting clothing. And it doesn't matter if it's male, female, teenager, child. Right now, there's a couple of sales going on. A few of us have gone shopping for new things because there's nothing that feels so good as receiving something that is brand new. Yes, we're blessed by things that are gently used. So please, if you have it, bring it. And it doesn't matter what age. We want to be a blessing to the rescue mission. You know, the Lord said, "For I was hungered and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me." So that just goes to show you, you know, when we do something for others, whether we know them or not, we're causing them to see the love of Christ. It's so important that we, you know, build up people who are going through devastation and through no fault of their own. You know, sometimes they lose their jobs. Sometimes they're foreclosed on because they didn't have enough money. Sometimes a family member is sick. So you know what? Any of us could be in that disaster. And it doesn't matter if you're a widow, if you're single, if you're married, if you have children, if you're an empty nester, it can happen to any of us. So I encourage you over the next couple of weeks, if you could look in your closets, find some things that, you know, you don't wear anymore that would be, you know, really welcomed by somebody who's in need. They say sometimes these people come with nothing but the clothes on their back. And how heartbreaking is that? And so, you know, there's a great sale going on in a lot of places right now. If you could, you know, if the Lord leads you to do that, you know, because pray about it. We need to do everything in prayer and know, you know, what he guides us to do, whether it's to bring something from your home or to purchase something. Let's be a blessing to others. We already, as a church, are a blessing to the rescue mission, but also we can do more. So, you know, as you come across people in need, if you can feel the need, do it. That's what God's word tells us. And so I just encourage you and I bless you in the name of Jesus for taking the time to share your heart and to share your faith and to share your words, even without speaking, because what you're doing is showing love. Okay? So thank you.
Hallelujah, Jesus. How many want to be religious? I don't want to be religious. Amen. Hallelujah. I love the relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. How many say amen to that? I mean, a one-on-one relationship where he tells you this is right, this is wrong. How many say amen to that? Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. Hey, do be praying for the mission down. Anybody on your heart. Bert is the wife, okay? And her husband, he's telling me that he's been having a lot of problems. We've been praying for him. God's been healing him. We pray for him. God heals him. And he was telling me the last time we took the stuff down there, he goes, "Henry, I really need somebody to take this ministry over." So be praying for somebody for the mission that would take over his position. He is the pastor of the whole thing right now. So be praying that God would open a place. And maybe that might be you. Amen? Everybody go, "No, not me." Yeah, you. Yeah, it could be. You never know. But pray. Because it really is a good ministry. It really is a ministry that's doing something. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. How many enjoyed the wind yesterday? How many stood out there, man, and said, "Woo, this is nice"? I'll tell you what, man. Praise God. I haven't seen wind like that. It had my trees shaking them around like they were flags up here. Shook all the beans off. We got them. Rosie and I cleaned the church yesterday, and when we got home, we decided we were going to rake beans. The wind started. before you know it, the beans were, I mean, the more we raked, the more beans were coming down, so we stopped working. I couldn't believe how hard the wind was blowing. Anybody seen it that bad in Arizona? I don't remember it like that. I don't ever remember it this way. Praise God. It was a sound of a rushing mighty wind. Amen? Come on. Hallelujah. I'm supposed to be taking care of my neighbor's house. They went down to Rocky Point for the weekend. And watering their plants. And they got a coop full of chickens. Well, it took that coop and took it off. You talk about cage-free chickens. Man, they were all over the place. And I'll tell you, I got up this morning. I said, I better go check. I got over there and I go, oh, no. I mean, there's chickens all over the place. Anybody good at catching chickens? Japanese. They are not easy. I picked the oldest. Looked like the weakest one. I could not catch that guy. He kept getting away from me. Kept going away. I was like, oh, my God. I called up the guy. I said, hey, man, guess what? Your chickens are running all over. And he said, don't worry about it, Henry. He says, they'll make their way back at night. I said, okay. I don't know nothing about chickens. All I know is that my wife loves to eat chickens. That's all I know. She said, leave me alone. Praise God. Praise God, man. But that was one storm. Amen. Our lights went out about 6:30 or 7 o'clock last night. Rosie and I had not taken a shower. We had no water. We had no lights. We were sitting in the living room in the dark. I said, I can smell you over here. It was no fun. I don't think I got any sleep. So whatever comes out of this pulpit today, pay attention. Pay attention. Because the word of God says that when I am weak, then I'm strong. How many say amen to that? How many say amen? Come on, man. Just when I think I've got it, man, you know what? God says, hey, let me take it. Let me hold on to it. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. God's got something good for every one of you. How many say amen to that? How many of you want something good? How many know that his way is better? How many really believe, hey, his way is better? It's always better. It's always better. Praise God. God, have you got a way to catch chickens? I mean, his way, he's got to be better. I don't know, man. Praise God. So I'm a little worried about my neighbor's chickens. Hallelujah. But my neighbor is not worried about him at all. He says, yeah, we'll be back. And then we'll round them up. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Today, God put on my heart last night. I was doing a message in the middle of the night by candlelight. How do you say amen to that? That's fun. It's cool. It's cool that way. It made me feel like an apostle. I said, oh yeah, praise God. This is the way they done it back then. Oh God. Oh God. Kept telling me, wake up, wake up. You wanted me to talk to you about truth. How many say amen, truth? How many like truth? How many like people to lie to you? How many have ever told a lie? How many ever told a lie in the last year? Come on, raise your hands. Come on, y'all, butcher. God, you guys, come on. Come on, be honest. Hallelujah. See, you might even be lying right now. Come on. Praise God. How many told a lie in the last week? How many are a habitual liar? Come on, man. Hallelujah. Sometimes we think that we can get out of things just by saying, well, it wasn't right. I mean, I don't want to tell them exactly how it went. You know, I felt a little uneasy calling my neighbor and say, hey, man, your chicken coop flew away. I wanted to put it back, straighten it out. But that thing was heavy. I couldn't get it back. Get all the chickens in. But there was no way I was going to get them chickens in. But lying sometimes, how many of you know we kind of look at a politician as kind of a what? Do we all look that way at them? You know what? I'm going to tell you something. As men and women of God, we need to stop doing that. Amen? The way we look at anybody, man, we got to say, hey, man, God, whatever's going on in their life, you deal with it. Whether they're a politician or whatever, just pray for them. How many say politicians need prayer? You know, come on, man. How many of you would like to be a politician right now? How many of you have been a politician? Anybody? Because sometimes you never know. I might have a governor or somebody in here. You never know. Amen? Praise God. But I believe that God is talking to us about something today. How many of you know that Jesus was the way, is the way, the truth, and the life? How many of you know that? Yeah. You know that. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father but through Jesus. Is that right? When you give your heart to him, he comes to dwell in you. How many say amen to that? Oh, come on, man. So what you have dwelling in you is the element of truth at the purest form. How many know? How many say amen? Praise God. Truth is powerful. Is that right? In truth, there's no moderation. Do you guys know what I mean by moderation? Your Corvette has moderation. Your Mercedes, your motorcycle, how does it have moderation? It comes from your foot. You can go fast or you can go slow. It can go fast. Truth isn't like that. Truth is full power all the time. How many say amen to that? It's either all true or it's not true at all. Amen? And God is talking to us to this morning. He's going to say, look, I want you to know there is a truthfulness that's within you that needs to be expressed. Let me say amen to that. I only like two of you. That's okay. Praise God. Truthfulness needs to be spoken. How many say that? Amen to that. Do I get an amen over here? Come on, come on. Can I get an amen out of y'all? Are you awake? Come on, man. Praise God. So let's go into the Bible. Let's go to talk. Because of what I love about Jesus, how many love Jesus? I love to look at him more than any Bible person. Why? Because he's the word. He is truth. He is everything that we need to look at to say, hey, that's the way I want to be. I say amen. I mean, say amen to that. I want to be like Jesus. Do you want to be like Jesus? I mean, we're talking about the man of God that he was, or, you know, I mean, gender stuff or whatever it meant, but every attribute that Jesus had, how many know that he has for you? Do you know that? His spirit comes to dwell with you. So therefore, anything that he places within you, it belongs to him and it expresses him in your life. Is that okay? All right. Hallelujah. So let's go to John chapter 8. We're going to start at verse 12. Let's go to this. I love to look at Jesus when he's talking to the Pharisees. Man. And he reveals a lot of things. Whenever Jesus is speaking, he's always revealing. Is that okay? There's always seeds going out. A lot of times back then, they didn't understand what was happening. Even today, we don't understand a lot of things that he was saying. Do you understand that? Because Jesus was speaking to a crowd of religious leaders. And so he says some things very pointed. And it's important for us to take heed to what he's saying. Is that okay? Hallelujah. So this is John chapter 18, starting at verse 12. I'm sorry, John chapter 8, starting at verse 12. Did I say 18 the first time? Sorry. I apologize. Talking about truth. Come on, man. Tell them the truth. It's on chapter 8. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. God, I thank you that you, Father God, you have said through Timothy, Father God, that the word of God is good for instruction in righteousness, for knowledge, Father God. So, Lord, as we look at your word today, Father, I ask, Lord, Father God, that you would have your way with every person that's in the building, every person that hears the word being spoken this morning, God, that you would touch their hearts by your spirit, Father. It's not the preacher, it's the spirit of God. So we thank you for your spirit. It's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by your spirit, Lord. So we honor that. And in Jesus' name we pray. If you agree, say amen. Amen. Title of today's message is called Truthfulness. Not truthfulness, truthfulness. Amen. How many of you know there's a difference? Truthfulness or truthfulness? Oh, come on. There's a big difference here. You're going to see that hopefully. Starting at verse 12. Then Jesus spoke again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. How many of you are following Jesus? Amen. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, you bear record of yourself. Your record is not true. Jesus answered and said to them, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and where I go. but you cannot tell from where I come or whether I go. You judge after the flesh, I judge no man. And yet, if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. I like this. I like when Jesus talks about his Father, he was bringing, you got to remember that he was bringing something so different to the Jewish culture that they hadn't even thought of it that way. Jesus was saying, I have a Father. His name is God. He's the one you call Jehovah. He's the one that when your scribes are writing something and they get to his name, or they're going to put down his name, they'll put down their pen, they'll go wash their hands, they'll anoint themselves and go back and write his name and then go wash themselves again. And then that's how religious they were. And Jesus calls them, that's my Father we're talking about. How many say amen to that? You're talking about my Father. Ooh, how many have a Father this morning? Oh, hallelujah. His name is Almighty God. Hallelujah. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bears witness of myself, and the Father that sent me bears witness of me. I love the way he talks to these guys. And they said to him, where is your Father? You got to remember that these guys knew Jesus. They knew him. They rejected him. Remember, he was 12 years old, and he was smarter than all the kids. He was teaching the elders in the temple. Do you remember that? And they were amazed. They said, look at this kid. Whose son is this? Well, that's Mary. Remember the Mary that they had quietly? She was pregnant before she was married. Folks, they rejected him then. The rejection was already, they knew who he was. And that's why they're saying these things. They're saying, where's your Father? Where is your Father? Jesus answered, you neither know me nor my Father. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. Great things, amen? I mean, you're getting what he's saying. If you knew me, you should have known my mom. Come on. These words spoke Jesus in the treasury and taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour is not yet come. Then Jesus said again to them, I go my way, and you shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. That had to be a shock to them. How many say amen? They thought they were righteous. And Jesus got through telling them, I'm going to go, and you're going to die in your sins. Where I go, you cannot come. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself? Because he says, whether I go, I cannot come. And he said to them, you are from beneath, and I am from above. You are of this world, and I am not of this world. Hey, it's time to just lay it out. Is that right? Is that right? Sometimes truth just needs to be said. How many say amen to that? Jesus looked at them. I'm from above. You're from this world. I'm from above. You're from beneath. Hallelujah. I love the way he talks to them. What's he talking about? He's telling them their position because of where they are, because they will not believe him. Do you know it's important that you believe Jesus and what he says? Do you understand how important it is? When he says something, it's time to listen. Amen? Hear what he's saying. Oh, this got them excited. I said, therefore, to you that you shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. What do you mean you're he? Then they said to him, who art thou? And Jesus said to them, even the same that I said to you from the beginning. I have many things to say and judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things that I have heard of him. They understood not that he spoke to them of the Father. Then said Jesus to them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father has taught me, I speak these things. How many say amen? That word right there, when he says, I, as my Father has taught me, I speak those things. It is important that we speak what we know in Christ. Do you know? It's important that when God shows you something, he tells you something, it's important that you speak the things that you know. You're not responsible for things that you don't know. But the things that you do know about the cross and about Jesus and what he's done for folks, it's important that you speak those things. And I'm not just saying, hey, you just go out and tell everybody. I mean, whenever you get a chance, you speak those things. But it's important that some of the things that he said, because this is what I want to talk to you about, because we're talking about truthfulness. Some of the things that are being said to you for a purpose so that you can just rehearse them and say them to yourself. How many say that? Amen. Because the fact of the matter is your sins have been washed away. How many like that idea? How many like the idea that God says, I will never remember them again? Is that good? He'll never remember. He'll never drag up a sin. Hey, you remember when you did this? How many, sometimes your friends, your wife, your husband, your best friend will say, well, you remember when you did that, right? That wasn't very good. God will never do that to you. He says that he places them as far as the east is from the west, tosses them into wherever a sea of forgetfulness is, wherever that is, and he says, they are not on you. Is that a good deal? The blood of Christ has washed you from your sins. Incredible. Incredible. Speak the things that you have learned. Jesus told Nicodemus, we speak that what we know. Just speak it. You got a friend you're talking to, you sense a word coming up from within you, just tell it to him. It's not you, it's him. God would be speaking. God would be reaching out to them. And you don't have to get down on your knees right here. Let me lead you to the Lord. Now you don't have to do that. You just, through by love, what you're sensing, you speak it. Amen? Oh, come on. Hallelujah. We have to be willing to spread these things, to speak the things that God has taught us. Amen? It says this. As he spoke these words, many believed on him. Then Jesus said to those Jews that believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. They answered and said, we are Abraham's seed and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free? These guys are saying, hey, man, we're free. We're free. Rather than hearing what he might have been saying, they rejected what he was saying and said, hey, no. They looked at themselves, no, man, you can't. Hey, I'm free. Let me tell me I'm going to be free. Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, I say to you, whosoever commits sin is the servant of sin. I'm going to say that to us right now. My grandson was playing a song for me the other day, and how many like rap music? Come on, boom, 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 boom. I don't know how to do that stuff. How many like rap music? Anyways, a lot of people don't like rap music, but rap, all it stands for is rhythm and poetry. And, I like this one part where in the song, it said, if sin is your work, then death is your paycheck. How many like that? Ooh, that's a real word for us. If sin is your work, then death is your paycheck. How many want to be in life? God says, I mean, it's a choice. You want to sin? Sin. But you're in death. You want life? Step into life. And I'll give you more abundant life. Is that good? Hallelujah. It's important. It's important to me that with my grandson, I listen to what he's listening to because I want to hear what he's listening to because it gives me a chance to speak to him. But sometimes he gives me some stuff that I go, hey, that's really cool. It really is. So, hey, if you're one of those persons that say that I do not like rap music, hey, don't judge it till you heard it. Amen? Praise God. Come on. There's some real good men of God out there speaking some words. And man, they can speak them. They can say them things, they can rattle them off, and they're powerful words. And I tell you, they're reaching a generation out there. How many say amen to that? My grandson is doing, praise God, man, hallelujah. I can't remember the name guy, the man, but it's kind of, it's cool, man. That doesn't say a lot. Anyway, they answered him, we be Abraham's seed and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free? Jesus said, verily I say to you that whosoever commits sin is the servant of sin. The servant abides not in the house forever, but the son abides forever. If the son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I want you to hear what he's saying. If the son will make you free, you shall be free indeed. He's actually connecting those two words that he said to them. You'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. And then he says, what he said on this last one, he says, if the son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Bam, went right over their head. He was telling them, look, I am truth. I am truth. Truth sets you free. If you believe me, I'll set you free. How many say amen to that? How many are glad of the freedom that God gave you? I was an alcoholic for I don't know how many years. I wasn't counting, but I bet Rosie was. I don't know how many years I drank and drank and drank and drank. And one day, didn't need AA, didn't need a counseling thing. One day, the Lord came into my life. Boom. Amen. August 8th, 1979. I never touched it again. Hallelujah. That's not for me. That's not because I'm a strong man, because God does a real work. How many say amen to that? Amen. Praise God, man. Hallelujah. Free. I was free. I know that you're Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word had no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and you do that which you've seen with your father. And they answered and said, Abraham is our father. And I love what Jesus says here. Jesus said, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that told you what? The truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. And he stops there. They said to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Do you see how they understood where he was and who he was? They knew that he was Mary's son. They knew it. And now they're bringing it out blatantly. Amen? They're just saying it. They're bringing out the truth according to their sign. Is that right? You are the son of an unmarried mom. Shh. Throwing it in whose face? This is the creator of the universe. This is the one that set the stars that are out there that you look at every night. How many say it? That sun that's burning out there, man, cooking us on right now. This is the one that created all of that. And these guys are saying, yeah, we don't have them. We weren't born of fornication like you, buddy. Oh. If I would have been Jesus, those guys would have been burnt right there. Poof. Next. Who doesn't want to believe me now? Amen? Come on. Just prove my point. No, man. But Jesus is not like that. He's not like that, is he? He's not like us. He doesn't think like us. They said to him, we not be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you cannot hear my word. How many know that listening to the word is important to you? As the body of Christ, we've got to hear his word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the what? The word of God. You've got to hear. You've got to hear. That's why I say, I tell any young person, I told Caleb before he leaves, you got your Bible with you, bro. Look at the Bible. Read the word every morning. You're going to need it. I guarantee you. How many say amen to that? Amen. Praise God. Got to hear the word of God. You are of your father, the devil. Now, Jesus is getting down to business. Amen. All right. Let's just talk. Let's just throw the truth on the table. How's that? You're your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a what? He's a liar and the father of it. How many say amen to that? How many believe Jesus? He's given us a description of that. And anything that's not of truth, he's given us that description. He's telling them, you are your father, the devil. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinces me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. How many say amen? Come on. I mean, it's just that simple. Do you hear? If you're hearing God's words, if you're hearing these things, I mean, God's word, as they're implanting within you, as they're going with you, have a way of directing you into what's right and what's wrong. Is that okay? Hallelujah. How many of you, when you were young, your mom or your dad said, it is not right to steal? How many of them said, it's not right to lie? I mean, and so inside within you, there's something that you know stealing and lying is not of God. How many say amen? Hallelujah. I want you to take you to Jeremiah. How many of you know Jeremiah was what they call the weeping prophet? And I want you to see what he says here. Oh, that my head were waters and my eyes fountain of tears. He wept a lot, this prophet, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place of wayfaring men, that I might leave my people and go from them. For they be all adulterers, an assembly of treacherous men. How many say that can be our world today? Can that be an example of what our world is like today? All adulterers and assemblies of treacherous men. People that do things that are contrary to what God would have them to do. They bend their tongues like their bow for lies. They lie. And they lie again. And they lie again. And they think nobody's watching. How many know that God's watching? For they are not valiant for the truth upon the earth. Do you know that God is looking for somebody just to be valiant? Valiant is not one of these blue... Oh, I don't know even why I'm going to this. A friend of mine, Reuben's brother, had a Valiant. And it was a push-button automatic. And it was the weakest car I ever seen in my life. It would not move. You floored that thing and it would not go. Didn't live up to its life. I mean, didn't live up to its word. You know, I mean, valiant. Let's show us what valiant means in the Hebrew. The Hebrew word for valiant is gabar. 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 Everybody say gabar. Look at your neighbor and say gabar. Look at your neighbor and say be gabar. Look at them. Say, be gabar. And it means be strong or stronger. Okay, you're strong now, but get stronger. Be stronger, be stronger, be stronger. The Bible said, Jeremiah said, these guys are not valiant for the truth. I mean, you know that sometimes telling the truth can be hard. But yet it needs to be said. How many say amen? Because God desires that we, who we are because of who we are, because Christ dwells in us, that we speak truth. That we just go ahead and say, hey, this is it. I know sometimes there's times not to be so truthful. Is that all right? Did you like that cake? I made it myself. Yeah, it was great. I mean, we've never done that. Everybody, you guys don't raise your hands for nothing, do you? Come on, man. I know you guys. How many like my tacos? Nobody. Yeah, Rosie likes my tacos. Yeah, I make good tacos. Yeah, whatever. We got to be valiant for the truth. He says this. For they proceed from evil to evil, and they do not know me, saith the Lord. Take ye heed, every one of his neighbor. Trust not in any brother. Do you hear that? Is that weird? God telling, hey, don't even trust your brother. Because if they're not speaking truth, you just kind of need to say, hey, man, how many of you ever met somebody who just doesn't speak truth? They don't know what they're saying. They don't even get what they're saying. Can I tell you, even Christians today will sometimes say, "But well, I'm sick." You know what? And they're not agreeing with what God's word. You know, it's important that you agree with what God's word says. The word of God says you're strong. Amen? The Word of God says you're complete. Is that right? Jesus told him one place is be perfect as your Father is perfect. How many of you know that you're perfect? I'll take a hand for that. There's go on. Anybody perfect in here? Come on, man. It's not you because you died on a cross. Remember? I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. It's not I that live. It's Christ that lives in me. So the person that's living you, oh, he's perfect. But he's dwelling within you, and the life that you now live is in him. So you can say, yeah, you know what? Sometimes the things I do aren't quite perfect, but he dwells in me. So yeah, I can say I'm perfect in him. Is that right? Because God says you're perfect. God says, I find nothing wrong with you, my friend. Isn't that good? Oh, you might not get it, but that's good preaching. It is good preaching because God is trying to get us to know what he's saying to us. He says, you got to know these things. Because sometimes people will say, well, I'm just an old sinner. I'm just an old sinner. And they love God, but they're saying, I'm just an old sinner. No, you're not, bro. God loves you. He's washed your sins away. Why are you calling yourself that? See, it's important that we speak truth. God wants us to be a truthful vessel, a vessel that speaks his word. Oh, I'm taking you somewhere. Hold on. It's getting better. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I can sense the Holy Spirit. Woo! Hallelujah. So let's start with, just put your hands in the air right now, just real quick. Father, we thank you. We thank you for what your word is saying. God, we thank you for who you are. Put your hands down. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Take heed, everyone, his neighbor. Trust not in any brother, for every brother will utterly supplant, and every neighbor will talk with slanders. Isn't that weird? Isn't that the way we are on the earth? Isn't that the way the earth is? But folks, we are the kingdom of God, so we got to operate in a different way. We can't operate with slanders. We cannot even, if somebody's doing wrong right in front of you and God doesn't give you a word, pray for them. But if God gives you a word, you say, hey, bro, you know what? What you just did, man, it's just, man, hey, man, this is what the word of God says, and give them the word of God and walk away. But be a vessel of truth. Be somebody that will place truth on the earth and let it fly. How many say, man? Oh, man. It says, they will deceive everyone, his neighbor, and not speak the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies and weary themselves to commit iniquity. Thy habitation is in the midst of deceit. Through deceit, they refuse to know me, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Can I tell you that getting to know him, do you see where it says, through deceit, they refuse to know me? Through deceit, you refuse to know him. But in truth, now we're talking something different. Truth is going to teach you, and it's going to show you, and it's going to bring you to things that you've never imagined. How we say amen to that? I mean, how many want to know more about what God has for you personally? If you do, man, just put your hand up. Hallelujah. I'm not looking for the hand, but I know God is. Hallelujah. I love this. Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. How do you get stronger in the Lord? John 3, verses 3 through 6 says this. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say to you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time in his mother's womb? No. And be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say to you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Can I tell you something? Let me just say that. You cannot know truth unless you give your heart to the Lord, unless you're born again. You will never know truth. It will never come to you. It will not, the truth of what God is doing, it will never come to you unless you give your heart to Jesus. Amen? Now, that's a word for somebody in here, in case somebody you say, well, I don't, you know, religion is religion, church is church. I'm going to tell you, truth is something that needs to enter into your spirit, into your mindset, into your thoughts. And if it's not, you're not in a good position. Ooh, I feel that. You need to realize that Jesus is truth. The only way you're going to know truth is by getting to know Jesus. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. First Peter chapter 1, verse 23 says this, being born again of not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, the word of God, which lives and abides forever. You see, what causes you to become born again is the word of God. Hallelujah. So truth, God wants to strengthen you in truth. Is that right? So Proverbs chapter 22, verse 17 through 21. This is something that while I was, when I first got saved, I would walk around the mine with a little bitty Bible, and I'd look at it because I was in a place where I could listen. It was a compressor room, so I had to have two sets of earplugs and everything, and nobody else was allowed in there. And I could only be in there for 15 minutes at a time, but I would take a little Bible in there, and while I was doing my work, I'd open the Bible. And this scripture right here kept coming to me. The Lord began to speak to me, and he was telling me, he says, and if you'll look at it real close, you're going to see that God is trying to implant truth into you so that truth will come out of your lips. I was praying for a guy one day at work. I was brand new in the Lord. His name was Emmett DeLuna. And I know he was a Jehovah's Witness. And you know, people are people. How many say amen to that? You know, and religions are religions. But Jesus Christ is not a religion. He's a relationship. And Emmett was a good man, and I loved him. And I was talking to him one day, and I knew nothing about different religions. Is that okay? I knew nothing. All I knew was I used to be a Catholic. I gave my heart to Jesus, and now all of a sudden, something's different, and I'm alive, and I want to tell everybody. So I was working with him and actually for him because he was showing us. He was an older guy, and I was this young guy learning how to do what he did. And I asked him if he knew Jesus, and he goes, yeah, I know him. And then he started telling me some stuff. And just so happened, there was a guy in there that got on his nerves, wouldn't listen to him. So he would tell him, no, don't do it that way. Don't do it that way. And he'd walk away and he'd talk a little bit to me to go back over there. Don't do it that way. Then he got real mad and chased him out of the shop. And he was mad. And I said, Emmett, are you okay? Oh, I'm so mad. I said, let me pray with you, man. Come on, let's pray. And he goes, no. He goes, you pray to Jesus. I don't pray to Jesus. I only pray to Jehovah. And I looked at him, I go, what? I said, you believe in Jesus? He goes, yeah, but I don't pray to him. And out of my mouth came these scriptures. I began to tell him, well, Jesus, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Who do you think that is? Amen. And the Word of God says, a virgin shall conceive and have a son. His name will be Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God. What do you think that means, Emmett? And he goes, get out of my shop. Chased me out of there too. And I realized, and I will tell you something, folks, I didn't know those scriptures. They came rolling out of me like I knew them, like I've been in there all the time. And I don't remember going through that, but it was the Holy Spirit within me speaking to a man. The Holy Spirit was reaching out to him. Let me just say this to you. And I didn't know. I got no idea. I'm just one of these dumb Christians. Yeah. Let me tell you about Jesus. I didn't know. But, oh, I began to learn. Because I went home. I said, I don't know those scriptures. I went home. I found them in my Bible. I go, man, that's what it says. I was telling them exactly what it says. Woo. Come on, man. And it was right around that time this scripture began to hit my heart over and over and over again. Every time I opened a book, I'd go, hey, there it is again. I read it again. It seemed like God was saying something to me, and I believe he was. It says this, bow down your ear and hear the words of the wise. Apply your heart to my knowledge. Apply your heart. In other words, you got to apply your heart to your, and it's not hard. Whatever favorite thing you like to do, some guys like to work on their cars. Some ladies like to bake cakes, whatever, that favorite thing. But you apply yourself to it. Is that right? You just apply yourself to it. Well, this is how, I don't know. Some people like to like to plant certain vegetables or whatever. They got to be planted just right. So you go in, you study about it. You go, okay, I know how to plant this. And so you apply yourself to, and that's all he's saying, apply your heart. Apply your heart to my knowledge, for it's a pleasant thing if you keep them within you. See what he's saying? Those things that are in the Word of God, if you keep them within you, it's a pleasant thing. Then it says, they shall withal be what? Fitted where? In your lips. These things will begin to come rolling out of you. Is that okay? I'm going to tell you something. This is beautiful because it is what will bless the world around you. It will. The word spoken in due season, it will comfort and build and strengthen those around you. So when it comes out, let it come out. Speak it. It's a pleasant thing if you keep them within you. They shall withal be fitted in your lips. And it says this, that your trust may be where? In the Lord. I have made known to you this day, even to you. He says, that's what he's saying this to you. I've made known today. This is the day I'm making it known to you. Haven't I written to you excellent things and counsels and knowledge? Has he? Has he written to us excellent things and counsels and in knowledge? Absolutely, he has. That I might make you to know the certainty of the what? Words of truth. That you might answer the words of truth to them that send unto you. Can I tell you, God's going to send people to you because of the deposit that he's placed within you. Let me just say this to you. You've got more in you than you realize. If you read your Bible on a continual basis, prayed, and even if you haven't on a continual basis and prayed, you will be surprised when you run into something, the word of God that begins to spring up out of you because it's designed for that. It will also be fitted into your lips at that time. God will bring that word so that you can speak, hallelujah, not just to people around you. You know, it's important that you speak to yourself the word of God. David said it this way, I encourage myself in the Lord. How do you do that? He used God's word. He began to speak his word and speak his word and speak his word. He said, man, it doesn't look good, God, but you are my salvation. You're the rock. Hallelujah. It doesn't look good. It looks like they're going to overwhelm me. But God, even though it looks that way, God, I know that you have me in the palm of your hand. Amen? Hallelujah. He began to speak the things that God had deposited within him. It's time that we speak the things that God has deposited in us. Hallelujah. John chapter 14, verse 17. Look at this. It says this, even the spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. This is God's spirit. You're going to see in scriptures where the word of God talks about when the Lord comes, when the Lord comes, when the Lord comes. The biggest day that he came that we know of was Pentecost. On Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came to the earth and began to dwell in men. How many say amen to that? Come on, man. This is his work. He's dwelling within us. And he says he's going to dwell in you. He'll be upon you and shall dwell in you. How many say amen to that? Woo, yeah. Next verse, John 16:13 says, howbeit when he, the spirit of what? What's he called? The spirit of what? Spirit of truth is in you. Come on. When he is come, he will guide you into what? Isn't that sweet? He's going to show you, this is what's true, bro. That's not true. How many of you have watched the news and said, that's not true? Anybody done that? No, man, that ain't going to work. Anybody done that? Man, why are they talking like that, man? That's contrary to our nation. Anybody done that? Come on, man. He will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you what? Things to come. Brenda? Hallelujah. Glory to God. John chapter 8, verse 32 and verse 36. I just want to go over this with you one more time. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. How many of you want freedom like crazy? There might be some of you that are still doing some of the things that you did before you got to know the Lord. Huh? Anybody? No? You're not going to raise your hand now? Come on, man. Yeah, come on. Can I just say this to you? God knows exactly what it is. And I will tell you that every one of us need more freedom. Let me say amen to that. Everybody, everyone that's in the house, God has something more to give you. Got something that he wants to take out of you, wants to put something more in you. Is that okay? Because it's important to him that you be full of truth, full of truth, full of truth, not just truthful. I mean, we should all be truthful, but he wants you full of truth. That's a whole different dimension, because when you're walking in this, it will bring things to you like you haven't understood. Can I say, when you're speaking what God says about you, now you're the head and you're not the tail. Now you're above and you're not beneath. Now, according to the truth, you are healed. Now, according to the truth, you are strengthened by might in the inner man. Now, because of truth, you are more than a conqueror. What's more than a conqueror? What is more than a conqueror? Someone that knows truth. Truth is, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You are a vessel of truth. The body of Christ in the earth is a vessel of truth. You are a vessel of truth. Be valiant for the truth. Be ready to give an account when men ask of you why you are the way you are. Be ready to speak against the things that are contrary to the word of God in the earth. Be ready. Because you are the body of Christ in the earth. You are truthful, full of truth. So could you stand? Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm going to say this. Everybody knows an area where you might need just a little bit more of God's word. Amen? Everybody has that within you. It could be, man, you know what? You might be suffering with a cough for 10 years. The truth of the word of God says that by his stripes you're healed. You might have a kleptomaniac kind of thing going on. I mean, say amen to that. Okay? There might be a little klepto in here somewhere. Actually, you know. But let me just say this to you, that God knows. And so all you need is truth. The word of God says, by mercy, and how many know God is merciful? This is Proverbs, I don't even remember, but he's saying it to me. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. You get that? He's merciful to you. So just say to him, hey, God, I could use a hand. I could use a touch right here, God. I like going to porn sites, or I like whatever. I mean, whatever it is that's troubling you, I like a little alcohol here once in a while that I go overboard on. You know how many, so I say, Pastor Henry, how come you never talk about tell people to get rid of, that's not my job. My job is to tell you the truth. The Holy Spirit will tell you to get rid of whatever it is. That's why, hey, all I know is that God loves his people, and God by his Holy Spirit will speak truth to them, and you'll watch truth will do. Truth will bring take out a drinking habit like I had. Truth came in, and that went out. Maybe a smoking, maybe a little toke at the name, man, right before I go to bed. I like to take a little toke. like to take a little. Maybe that's what it is. God says, hey, you need nothing more than what, right? You need nothing more than truth, because he is. It's him that comes in you. I mean, say amen. So you all know maybe a little place where you might, you all know. And let me just say this to you. I'm not trying to drag these things up, but there are areas sometimes, sometimes areas we have trouble with. Sometimes you might talk a little bit about your neighbor, talk a little bit about that person, or you're angry with somebody and you just can't seem to let go. Every time you see it, it pops right back up. Oh, you see him in Safeway and you turn your cart around, go the other way. Truth is, you need more truth. God will purge it by mercy and truth. Iniquity is purged. So I want to pray for you. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you. We thank you, Lord, that we are your people. Lord, by mercy and truth, purge our vessels of the things that are contrary to you. Father, we bring ourselves before you and we say, God, have your way. Have your way, Lord. Wash us and cleanse us. Hallelujah. Remove those little closets. Remove those little thought patterns, Father. Remove those things and let your mind come into our mind. We receive that which you have for us, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. If you agree, say amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and say, be truthful. Come on. To be truthful. Tell the truth. Hey, let's sing this. Let's sing this song one time real quick. And then we'll.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.